We read from God's Word two passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, Psalm 36, and then two short passages from John chapter 17. We read Psalm 36, the psalm that we have just sung that speaks of God being the fountain of life and even of eternal life. Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of the pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Then we turn also to John chapter 17, the beautiful high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the opening verses of this prayer, Jesus really gives us what is almost a definition of eternal life. John 17, the first three verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then also verses 20 to 24. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou givest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We consider tonight the beautiful truth of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, namely the hope of everlasting life that we confess every Lord's Day. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. This morning we had a great sorrow, and we had to hear a word of sorrow. Tonight we focus our attention on the greatest joy imaginable. That is the joy of the hope of eternal life. There is no greater joy than that. The hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have that hope in the midst of a world of misery that is under the judgment of God. We have that hope, beloved, in Jesus Christ. He alone is the one who gives us that blessed hope of life eternal. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever does not believe in Him shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Outside of Christ, there is no hope for man. There's only misery and blackness and darkness. There's only the fearful prospect of eternal condemnation in hell. And the Word of God warns the unbeliever of that judgment of God. In our modern day times, there are those who mock the whole idea of eternal judgment. But even as there is eternal life for the believer in Christ, there is eternal judgment for those who are outside of Christ. There's hell. There's everlasting fire for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. But for the believer, through Jesus Christ, there is the hope of life. Eternal life, beloved, is the very crown of our salvation. It's the perfection of our salvation. Eternal life speaks of heaven, of the everlasting inheritance that God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have for the future. We have already considered together in a sermon the hope that we have for our souls. Immediately after we die, our souls go to heaven to be with Jesus in conscious blessedness. And we have considered together the hope that we have for our bodies. When they are put in the graves, we do not have to despair, Because in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, we have the hope of the resurrection. This evening we speak of the hope of eternal life. That hope is so glorious that words cannot describe it. And that's in part due to the fact that it's otherworldly, it's heavenly that is our hope. So eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man to be able to conceive of that glorious hope. It is so great. We ought not to speculate concerning that hope, but we ought to focus our attention on what the Bible has to say, what God's Word, the Gospel, has to say of that blessed hope. We have that hope in the midst of a world where we suffer many things, where we are hated and where we are persecuted. We have the hope of glory, the blessed hope of life eternal. And so glorious, beloved, is that hope that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with it. We can be sure that whatever that glory shall be when it appears, we will not be disappointed, and it will certainly be greater and more wonderful than every imagination that we have concerning it. So tonight we consider the blessed hope that we have as Christians of eternal life. In order to understand that truth, we have to confess together that God is our life. Life is a wonder work of God. We sang one of the verses in Psalter number 416. God is the God of our existence. What an expression that is. We have no existence without God. He gave us existence. The Apostle Paul declared that in Him we live and move and have our being. He gives to all life and breath and all things. He is our Creator. He made our first parents. He created Adam and Eve out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. He ordered their life. He created man, a personal, moral, rational being who was able to know and to live with God, and who could stand in a covenant relationship with God. He created man's soul and body and united these two wonderfully together and ordered them in such a way that man could have fellowship with God. He created Adam and Eve in His own image. The image of God, we believe, according to Scripture, is the true knowledge of God, righteousness and holiness. God created our first parents able to know God, to obey Him, to serve Him, heartily to love Him. We are told that already in Lord's Day 1, really, We are told that in Lord's Day 3, that God created man in such a way that in paradise, man was able to live with God. And the very heart of man's life as he was created by God was that his life was in God. The joy of his life, the purpose of his life was to know God and to have fellowship and life with God, to be conscious of the fact that his existence came from God, his life came from God, and it was his joy, Adam and Eve in paradise, to serve God and to live in communion and fellowship with God. When we think about what Adam and Eve were before the fall, we can't even imagine how blessed it must have been for them to be perfect and to be created as such creatures that they could have life and fellowship with God. And yet, beloved, the truth of eternal life is even greater than that. The first Adam was of the earth early, and even in the state of perfection, the joy that Adam and Eve had was limited to the earthy. God has in Christ prepared for us an even more wonderful life. When the Bible speaks of eternal life, it does not refer to a restoration of the earthly paradise, but it speaks of the realization of a heavenly paradise. Man fell into sin. Through the instigation of the devil, he separated himself from God. He lost the blessedness of the knowledge and fellowship of God. Death came into his life. Immediately, according to the just sentence of God, there was physical death. It began to set in to his physical makeup. It was also spiritual. His nature became corrupt. When God created man, he created him in such a way that he could serve God with all of the faculties of his existence. He could serve God and enjoy fellowship with God. When man fell, his whole nature and all of his faculties were corrupted. And his heart, his mind and will, after the fall, were at enmity against God. And the horror of death came upon him. The awfulness of physical death is the judgment of God upon man's sin. And because of the seriousness of man's sin, the judgment of eternal death came upon him. He was cast away from the presence of God into darkness and misery and suffering and anguish. And now he had a nature in which he would corrupt the whole of his life. But worse than that, he was bound for eternal destruction in hell. That's the judgment of God upon fallen man. But God, in his great mercy, by the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ, prepared for us something even better and more glorious than Adam and Eve had in paradise. He prepared for us in Christ a heavenly inheritance and what the Bible repeatedly calls eternal life. What a wonder. The wonder of God in Jesus Christ. Especially the inspired Apostle John speaks of this wonder over and over. He speaks of Jesus as the light of the world. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Chapter 1. In chapter 3, the Gospel of John says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish everlastingly, but they should have, through faith in Jesus Christ, the great blessing of life eternal. In chapter 5, we are told that God gave to his Son to have that life in himself. And the beautiful prophecy is made by our Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ is the hope of eternal life. I am come, Jesus says in John 10, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What an expression that is. In Jesus Christ, we have the hope of abundant life. A life that is full of the blessing and favor of God. And in John 10 and verse 28, we read, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God determined, as the sovereign God of our salvation, when he gave us to his Son, Jesus Christ, he determined to give to us eternal life, to deliver us from death in all of its misery and judgment, and to give us the exceeding great blessedness of life eternal. 1 John 4 and verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is then, beloved, the salvation, the perfect salvation that God has prepared for us in Christ. It's a perfect life, a life in which we will be delivered entirely and forever from sin and the judgment and the misery and the sorrow and the death and the suffering that it deserves, and we shall inherit blessing, everlasting, glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. According to the scriptures, there are three main things about life eternal that are central. If you study this subject, this wonderful subject in the scriptures, you will realize that eternal life has to do with knowledge and fellowship with God in Jesus Christ, and it has to do with an existence, a life that is devoted to the praise and glory of God. So great is God's salvation that He has ordained for us. Such a salvation as this. Eternal life is, according to John 17 and verse 3, it is to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. There's no higher good imaginable. Nothing more glorious. Nothing more wonderful, imaginable for man than to have a personal, living, experiential knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. And this is the central truth of eternal life. It is a life in which we will know God personally and know Jesus Christ, His Son. And we will exist in the blessed sphere in which we will have fellowship and friendship with Him. Eternal life will be the highest, most wonderful imaginable realization of God's everlasting covenant in Jesus Christ. The patriarchs already were looking for it. And it's amazing how that even the patriarchs already were looking for a life that was beyond this present life. And so the Psalms over and over speak of that. We have sung some of them. Psalm 16 speaks of the hope that already the Old Testament saints had of a life that was to come, a more glorious and a blessed life. The psalmist has this to say in verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in Thy presence is the fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Psalm 17, As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. That's what eternal life will be. We will die. We will sleep, and we will awake in glory, and we will be satisfied in the presence of God when we see His face and when we are made perfect, when we dwell with Him, when we live with Him. Already the Old Testament saints knew that hope, though they knew it only very dimly. So in Psalm 23, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 73, after the psalmist was confused and he became jealous at the prosperity of the wicked. And we can be that way as well, jealous at the prosperity of the wicked in this world. But then God brings us into His sanctuary and He shows us how God sets the wicked on slippery places to cast them down to destruction. If ever you are so foolish as the psalmist was to be jealous of the life and prosperity of the wicked, then do as the psalmist did. Go into God's house and read His word and remember the promise that we have of life with God. And thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In the New Testament, that is more gloriously revealed as the life that we are given through Jesus Christ, the knowledge that shall be ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. That life is and will be in perfection, a life of knowledge and fellowship with God, the highest imaginable good. In that life, we will appear before His presence. And there we will praise Him forever and ever. So the beautiful visions of the book of Revelation that prophesy of the glory of eternal life are the visions of the saints surrounding the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. And they have remembrance of the Lamb and all that He did, His sacrifice on the cross, the greatness of His love for His people. They have remembrance that He is the Lamb and that He, by God, was exalted to highest glory in heaven. And there He is worshipped by the redeemed saints. And that, beloved, is the glory of eternal life and will be the glory of eternal life. Eternal life is a life in which we shall praise and glorify God forever and ever. We shall join the redeemed saints beholding the glory of God and singing the songs of the redeemed. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and ever. The blessedness of eternal life, beloved, is the blessedness of life with God and with Jesus Christ. It is that great salvation and the realization of that salvation that Jesus prays for in His high priestly prayer when He is praying for us, for His beloved church whom He would redeem on the cross. This He prays for us, that we may behold His glory. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the Word. What's the glory? What's the blessedness of eternal life, beloved? It is the glory of beholding the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing His glory and worshiping Him forever and ever. In many ways, beloved, the Scriptures speak of the blessedness of eternal life. In John 14, it is described in terms of a house of many mansions, a place that God has prepared for those who love Him, those who belong to Jesus Christ, where they will dwell forever in the blessed presence of Jesus. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 and 4, the apostle praises God for the hope of life eternal, and he describes that hope as the hope of an inheritance, a glorious inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that shall never fade away, and that is preserved for us in heaven. In Revelation 21, it is described from the viewpoint of the city of Jerusalem and the tabernacle of God that shall come down from heaven. And there God shall be with His people, and He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there shall be no more crying, and no more sorrow, and no more death, for all of these things shall have passed away, and there we shall live with God. In Revelation 22, eternal life is described vividly as the new Jerusalem, a glorious city, adorned with all manner of precious metals and precious stones. And all of these are used to describe for us the glory of eternal life. And we are not to have a carnal understanding of any of these things. All of these are figures and pictures, and they all point to the blessed reality of eternal life that shall be in heaven, where we shall see God and Jesus Christ in all of His glory. In other places, it's described as living and reigning with Christ in His kingdom. We will see Christ as the exalted Lord, as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We will enter into His everlasting kingdom of glory, and we will be partakers of the glory and the victory that He has accomplished for us, and we will enjoy that forever and ever, living and reigning with Christ, being partakers of His glory and of His victory. In Revelation, in several places, it is also described as a wedding feast, where Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and where we will enter into the marriage feast that celebrates the love and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. What a wonder that will be, to experience and to know the great wonder that He demonstrated and realized through his sacrifice on the cross forever to experience the joy and the blessedness of the great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That will be, beloved, our final salvation, and it will be eternal. In order to appreciate that as children of God, we have to keep in focus those great truths that we have talked about. There are those who mock in our day the very idea of life eternal. There's one man who said, "What a boring thing to exist through all eternity." Well, that's blasphemy. Life eternal will be unspeakable joy and glory because it will be life with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with Him. The joy of that through all eternity will never be exhausted. It will never grow common or ordinary. It will always be full of excitement and wonder and beauty and life and love and fellowship. There are many things that we cannot now understand, but this we know, that when God finally realizes it in Christ, it will be far more wonderful than ever we could imagine. The final point of the sermon and the final point made in this Lord's Day is that we already now are partakers of the joy of life eternal. For the child of God, regenerated by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the child of God who believes in the eternal Son of God, he already now has the beginning of the joy of eternal life. That's what makes the Christian life a life of joy. If you know that life in reality, you're not going to consider it to be a burden. Eternal life is, beloved, the beginning of the joy of everlasting life. We have that life already now, in principle, through the work of regeneration. Christ has planted in our hearts the incorruptible seed of regeneration, and that seed is the joy and blessing of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. It is the beginning of the joy of knowing Him and of fellowship with Him and of life with Him. In the measure that we have that already now, we have the reality of the blessing of eternal life. We have the joy of the forgiveness of sin in the cross of Jesus Christ. We have the joy of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have the great joy of His favor and loving kindness. And beloved, there is nothing already in this life that can compare with the great joy that we now already have in Jesus Christ. When we hear the gospel, when we come to the house of God, when we learn more and more of Him, when we enjoy the fellowship of the communion of the saints, we have already the beginning of the joy of life eternal. For that reason, the psalmist who knew the reality of this He said, "This one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." So we have, by the wonderful grace of God, we have the beginning of the joy of eternal life. But that is not yet perfect. It cannot yet be perfect. We still have the body of sin. We struggle against our sinful nature. We struggle with the temptations of the world, and sometimes we are separated from the favor of God because of our falls into sin, and we cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of sin?" Until we are delivered from the body of sin, we cannot yet have the fullness of joy. We cannot yet see Jesus. Because He is bodily in heaven, we long for His glorious appearance, and only when we shall see Him in the fullness of His glory shall the life, the blessedness of eternal life, be made perfect. We cannot, beloved, we cannot in this present life have the fullness of joy. We experience the sorrows of life in a sin-cursed world. We get diseases. God sends us trials in our life. We are part of the church militant. We have many enemies who oppose us and who persecute us. We are hated in this world, and this causes us pain and anguish. There are times when we feel separated from God. We still have to face the last enemy, which is death. We experience the sorrow of the death of loved ones, and that sorrow is very real. And we, if the Lord tarries, we face the reality of the end of our own earthly existence. And that is by itself a fearful reality to think about. My beloved, in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. What a comfort that is. Body and soul, in life and in death. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And He has conquered death and hell. He has gained the victory through His cross and in His resurrection. And He has given us the blessed hope of eternal life. We are not, beloved, we are not to set our hearts upon the things of this world. No matter how happy at times our life may seem, how prosperous our life might be in this world, we confess, as children of God, that the end of our life is not on this earth. We are pilgrims and strangers. Together with the saints of God of old, we look not at an earthly inheritance, but we look for a heavenly inheritance. And we bless God, who has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a glorious heavenly inheritance. And we look to the day of the perfect, glorious, and wonderful realization of that life when God shall bring us to glory, to heavenly glory, and there we shall live with Him and with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we shall be partakers of His final, most glorious, and most wonderful everlasting salvation. What a blessed hope is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for such a great salvation beyond our comprehension. A salvation so wonderful that words could never describe it in earthly terms. Could never describe it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. O Lord, give us the faith to look for that blessed hope. May we not look at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but give us the faith and the blessed hope to look for those things which are not seen, the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen.